All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 163. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
Bit of a light week, but boy, do I have some stuff that I'm really enthusiastic about. But before we like get started proper, I won't give like a full review for this or anything, but I did get to see that movie you mildly recommended a couple weeks ago, Mom and Dad.
Yeah,
I think I fall pretty much in line with you. Like, I gave it a 3 on Letterboxd. I'll give it a 3 here. I mean, Nicolas Cage is like the reason to see that is exactly like you said. You want to see Nicolas Cage be nuts. That was a that was fucking prime Cage.
Yeah, he's unhinged.
Yeah, I think I texted you. I'm like, Nick Cage is unleashed in this motherfucker. Yes. I guess the bad thing I'd say about that movie is it had the potential to be like some sort of like classic.
Oh yeah,
and maybe maybe with time you never know what type of stuff gets remembered and how. But like it has such a strong premise. The idea of wanting to kill your kids, I think, is a fantastic premise. It just felt like that movie. I mean, besides the fact of Nick Cage being cast in it, like it felt like a straight to video movie, kind of like like it's a movie with a premise where there should be like car chases and like fucking buildings blowing up, like it should be like chaos going on everywhere, like end of the world shit, and like most of the movie is like just in this house that they're tearing apart. So like it was like I felt it too. I was like, why are we not like going anywhere else, or like why are we just stuck in this house for most of the movie? But yeah, Nick Cage being crazy, that gave it a 3, like the premise, and then his like completely unhinged performance, it got it to a 3 for me.
Nice.
But anyways, just thought I'd throw that out there. I know Chrissy reviewed that like 2 weeks back, so I'm not going to get much deeper than that. All right, well, let's get this started proper. Chris, you made it to the movie theater once again, and once again, I'm, like, boycotting the movie theater. They did not have my telly, and so, therefore, I'm not going to see Deadpool either. They go fuck themselves.
Dang, you did say you were going to see Deadpool.
Yeah, I did. And then the whole telly thing. And you know what? I still kind of wouldn't mind seeing Deadpool. I didn't get around to it. But you did.
I did.
Saw Deadpool 2. How does this stack up?
It's more Deadpool.
More Deadpool.
Did you like Deadpool, the first Deadpool?
I did, actually. And to the point where like I liked it enough on the first viewing that I bought the Blu-ray when it came out.
Okay.
I think I watched it like once. But yeah, I liked it even on the rewatch. I thought it was
it's fun. Fun movie.
Different.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily take itself super seriously like other superhero movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, it breaks the fourth wall. It kind of is, it knows it's a movie.
And, R-rated. Like, it's different enough for me to, like, not care that it's a comic book movie. Like, I'm kind of, like, pissy about these movies lately.
Yes.
It's not a Marvel movie. I mean, it's Marvel, I guess, but not really.
Yeah,
it's not an Avengers movie.
Yeah, it's a Fox produced movie, so it actually takes place in the X-Men universe.
They make
some they make some jokes about Logan. It's a very irreverent type of film, and it kind of pokes fun at everything. It takes place in Marvel, but because of their weird licensing, it doesn't really mention much about the Avengers or anything of that. But it does kind of pokes at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
here and there. Like there's a bunch of Disney jokes. There's an ongoing gag about a do you want to build a snowman?
Okay.
Like that's it sounds similar to another song. So it's just like it's a lot of like ongoing gags, ongoing humor. The story itself is kind of dumb. Like, but it's fun. It's not quite as adult as maybe the first one was. Like,
I mean, in terms of like the crude humor or whatever.
yeah, there's still a lot of crude humor, but it's I guess it's toned down in a weird way. Like the first one, like there was a fucking pegging scene. Like
Yeah, that's what I was about to
yeah,
bring up.
there's nothing quite like that here. Like
On that level, okay.
yeah, I mean there's a lot of jokes. There's a lot of funny crude humor. There's a lot of adult language, but it never hits that pegging scene where I remember watching that in the theater, and directly in front of me was a mother and her like 12-year-old son, and I just felt like so bad for them, 'cause like the two of them are just like looking at each like at the screen, and like you could see the uncomfortableness, and they kind of like glance at each other, and it's like and I'm like, yeah, like I mean people said don't take your kid to Deadpool.
That's what you get, yeah.
This isn't anywhere near along that line. Like it's a little more gory in
Okay.
spots, but not like not gross. Like it's just like Deadpool can he can die basically. Like he has a crazy healing factor. He puts together a team that is very amusing. You've probably seen it in the trailers.
Yeah. I
The
saw
ex
the girl with the big afro, and I think it's funny.
yeah.
That's all I remember.
Yeah, she's Domino. Her she's Lucky.
Oh yeah, I remember that bit in the trailer. Like, that's not a superpower.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's like a guy named Peter, and like he doesn't have a superhero. He's just like, I thought this would be cool. Something to do. And
Are these X-Men?
no. So like I
Okay.
mean like Domino is a real comic book character, and some of the other ones are. Peter is I don't believe is. He's just a dude they threw in there as humor. But there are X-Men. I think the girl from Deadpool, the original movie, she's in it.
Yeah.
Colossus is in it. There's actually a,
Is she an X-Man?
yes.
Like Negasonic or whatever her teenage warhead?
Yes. Warhead, I believe, is what she's called in the comic books.
Okay.
And Colossus, obviously, and Cable, who is the kind of antagonist, I guess, for most of this film, and then something happens, and Deadpool and Cable end up having to work together. It's not bad. It's not like I think it's pretty much right in line with Deadpool, like the original movie. Like I wasn't blown away by it, and I think some of it is like coming back to it again, 2 years later. It's more of the same shtick. That's not bad.
Yeah,
Like it's
the first time is a breath of fresh air. Here's
yeah, it's
some
like, well,
more
this
if
is
you like that.
fucking wacky. But since then, we had Logan, which showed you can do a serious R-rated comic book movie. And then this is back to that same like, hey, this is funny, right? Deadpool's funny. Like haha. Like I mean it is. There are parts that are very amusing. There's parts that are, I chuckle throughout most of the movie. I'm not blown away by it though. Like I don't know, some people are like, this is so much better than the first one.
Oh, really?
I was like, okay, if you think so, I mean that's great. I'm glad you had a great time. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I went and saw it, but I don't know if I'll ever sit down and watch it again. Like It's
How's Brolin?
he's good.
Yeah.
It's a completely different character than what he's playing in Infinity War. And he plays Thanos in Infinity War.
I forgot. He's the bad guy in that.
So there are a couple jokes. I guess there are, like, you know, Infinity War jokes in there where he kind of pokes fun. Talks about it. He's like, you're not big like Thanos. Like there's stuff like that where Ryan Reynolds is poking fun at that. And there's actually a very good mid-credit sequence. Okay. Pokes fun at the fact that Ryan Reynolds did Green Lantern. So it's good. It is. It's more Deadpool, and I feel bad saying that, but that's really, I think, the best explanation of it. It's more of that. It's it's a little more blown out. There's some more characters in it, but it's still a pretty tight, pretty simple story. Like, it doesn't get anywhere near as crazy as, you know, what's going on in Infinity War. And it's most played for laughs. Like it's, you know, you can obviously see that these guys are out there having a good time.
All right. Score.
I'm going to go 3 of 5. But like, if you enjoy that first one, I think it's definitely worth going to see.
I mean, I really did enjoy the first one, especially seeing it in the theater. But again, I feel like if it is just more of that, you know, it's going to go down a notch a little bit for me for a sequel. But it's good to know that they didn't, like, fuck it up, you know?
Yeah, no, it's fucked it up. They very much so. You could have really screwed this up royally.
Especially with, like, the original director left, and we've got this new guy who, I mean, doesn't seem to have much of a track record to go by yet. So
no, like, he did Atomic Blonde, which I did not.
I did not like that. Oh yeah.
And he's done like stunt directing for like some of the Bourne movies and V for Vendetta, and he did some directing with John Wick, but like he's not the credited director on that. Weirdly,
I mean, it's not like Tim Miller is this acclaimed director,
right,
either.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, you're doing a sequel to this movie that was a huge hit. You lost the part of the creative team that made that, and you know, this thing could have turned out to be a pile of shit.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, this guy, somebody likes him because he has lined up the Fast and Furious spinoff with The Rock and Jason Statham.
I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah, so that they have moved Dwayne Johnson's character and Jason Statham's character off, like, out of the Fast and Furious stuff, and they're having their own, like, the same characters, but and in that world, but without, like, you know, the rest of the Fast and Furious cast. And he's evidently signed on to be the director for the Division movie, which has Jessica Chastain and Jake Gyllenhaal attached to that. Now, that could be terrible because that's a video game movie, but
yeah,
I mean, those two actors are excellent.
They're
so
awesome. Yeah.
Somebody like this guy has contacts. So,
well, and on a total side note, like, for as much as I bitch about comic book movies, I'm starting to realize, I think my bigger problem is just mainly the fucking Marvel movies. Like, and not even like this, because I know, well, this is a Marvel property at some point, right? Like,
right.
X-Men is a Marvel property, even though Sony has the license.
You're specifically talking about the MCU, though.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. Because, like, I was just randomly thinking about it as you were talking about Deadpool 2. I'm like, I like Deadpool 2, or I like Deadpool. And I actually really love all the modern X-Men movies, like a lot. Like, and maybe it's because for me, anyways, X-Men movies feel like they have more to say. Like they're like slightly darker and slightly higher stakes. I don't know. Maybe I'm off on that. I don't know. But that's for whatever reason, the X-Men movies have always been more like palatable or whatever for me.
Well, there's also a little bit of time between them too.
Yeah, there's not 18 million of them.
Right,
And
like
I feel like those movies, way more than the MCU movies, have like social commentary to them. And maybe that's just the nature of the X-Men,
right,
because
yes.
it's kind of it's a metaphor for whatever you want it to be, gay rights, civil rights, whatever. You know what I mean? Like the metaphor is obvious, but at least that's something. It's about something more than are we too powerful? Like, which is what the Marvel movies seem to be kind of about for me. I don't know.
That's fair.
And I do, for whatever reason, not to like put this like make this go on too long. Like, I do for whatever reason like the X-Men being separated and in their own little kind of universe, even if it's only because of the Sony license, and then this being like the comedic offshoot of it. I hope they don't merge it all because, like, dude, it's already like, especially in the MCU, just way too many characters and plot lines going on.
Yes.
I kind of like this being off in its own corner and, having little offshoots like Deadpool and stuff was pretty cool. But so I will see Deadpool too at some point, just like I'll see X or X I keep saying Xfinity War.
Comcast War.
Yes. That would be great. But no, I will see Infinity War at some point. Infinity War, I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe not till it comes out on DVD. Deadpool 2, I could still see me making it to the theater. So if I do, you'll hear my thoughts on it in the coming weeks. But before we fucking wrap up, I have tons of shit. Well, not ton, but a couple things I'm really excited about. So started off with a film called Better Watch Out, Chris. Have you
Okay.
heard of Better Watch Out?
From you,
Okay.
by your recommendation.
Yeah. So, and it's on Shudder. So if you have Shudder, it's there, it's streaming. But I think you could rent it elsewhere. I'm assuming you could rent it elsewhere.
You can, yes.
It says Shudder exclusive, but it's out there. So Better Watch Out is it's a 2017 horror film. It takes place on Christmas or around Christmas. So it's a horror themed or a holiday themed horror movie, right?
Okay.
I'd seen the trailer, I'd heard of it. I did not expect much going into it, but I was like, okay, this is something new. It says it's Shudder exclusive. I've kind of heard of it. I know I'd seen a trailer. It looked like it could be fun. Like sometimes those Christmas horror movies can be kind of fun. Specifically for me growing up with Gremlins, I mean, I loved it. And that's kind of what like I expected going in is something in that vein where it's like, yeah, it's a horror movie, but it's kind of light and fun and kind of comedic and Christmassy. And it's kind of those things, but also extremely dark and fucking like just riveting and like disturbing and crazy. I don't want to spoil the movie, but the setup is basically this girl, she's a babysitter. She gets hired by these parents while they're going out to like an office Christmas party type thing. She's watching these two little boys, or no, she's actually just watching one boy. Like his friend is hanging out, he leaves. So it's just like her and this boy. And this boy has like a major crush on her. He's like a 12-year-old boy, and she's like 15, I think.
Okay.
He's got a major crush on her. So he's like trying to get her to like, because the movie opens with like him and his buddy like hanging out playing video games, talking about some article that they're reading that like horror movies get girls horny. And I remember having this conversation when I was a kid. Like, I remember seeing articles that said that. And that's kind of like the setup is like, so his friend leaves when she comes over, and it's just like him and this babysitter, and they're like, he's trying to get her to watch horror movies. He's like trying to like lean his head on her shoulders and kind of hit on her, and then like a home invasion starts happening, right? That's like the basic premise.
Okay.
And if you go in expecting like that type of movie with, hey, it's like horror or holiday themed and blah blah blah, you're not gonna get that movie, and you are in for one hell of a fucking surprise. I don't like, I feel like we should do a proper review once you've seen it,
Okay.
like a spoiler review, because like this is a movie you could really dig into, like, so like without spoiling it, I think the movie has stuff to say about like white privilege and toxic masculinity, but it says those things without. Like, it never feels like a movie that has a message, or it's not beating you over the head with that message. It's just a movie of its time that is naturally about those things. I don't even want to say who the villain is, but the person who is the villain gives, in my opinion, one of the best villain performances I've ever seen in a movie ever. It blew my fucking mind. And yeah, like I kind of said at the top, like there is some fun to be had in this movie. It's like it references other stuff. Like, it very specifically references Home Alone
Yeah,
and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I'm looking at some pictures and it looks very Home Alone-ish.
Yes, it references Home Alone like directly. Like, they talk about Home Alone in the movie. But it very, without mentioning it, very clearly references Ferris Bueller's Day Off near the end of it. Like, it's fun. Like, it's a movie that's never so like downbeat or like so brutal that you're like, oh man, this is like terrible. But like, it's not just light fun. Like, it is genuinely fucking terrifying at parts. The villain in this thing is, I mean, we'll talk more about it after you see it, but I highly, highly recommend this movie if you're a fan of horror movies. The only caveat to that is like, I worried recommending it to like a bunch of people because it dips into a subgenre that not everyone always loves. The whole movie isn't it, but and I don't even want to say what the subgenre is. I'm like being real cagey about this. But that said, I recommended it to you and a couple other horror fans, our friends Brian and Javi, and they both came back to me saying they loved it. So I guess I wasn't crazy and out on a limb here. I'm more confident in my love for this movie. So yeah, I just highest recommendation, 5 stars. We will talk about it more in depth once you see it, Chris. But
Nice.
like, yeah, I would recommend just, do the Shudder trial. And actually, I'm pretty close to like my verdict on Shudder, which is I kind of love Shudder. For like, it has a selection of movies where it's like it's either stuff that I always wanted to see that's hard to come by, or stuff I've never heard of, or kind of just newer exclusive shit like this.
Right.
Yeah, like it fucking, I don't know. I just like love, like, you can tell like they love the genre at Shudder. Like, they like care about it. Like, the descriptions they write out from the movies, they explain to you why they picked those movies, like why it should be remembered. They're updating it pretty regularly. Like, it seems like they do at least a handful of movies almost every week, and every like, it seems like, every Friday night or something like that, they have like what you and I tried to do with Movie Dudes for a while, which is like, hey, this movie's on our service. We tried to do this with Netflix. Was like, everybody has Netflix. Hey, everyone, let's watch this movie at the same time and live tweet it together on Twitter.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, like they like promote this and do this. So yeah, I'm getting pretty close to a verdict on it, but it like unless anything changes, I'm saying for $5 a month, if you're a horror fan, check it out.
All right.
And no matter what, check out Better Watch Out. Do it. Another movie I saw this week, and it's one that's been on my list for years. There's so many things, it's hard to keep up with it all. And I don't know why it took me so long to get around to this, but I was like fucking around on YouTube, and I think I was watching like a best movies of the 2010s, or like underrated gems of the 2010s, or whatever, like some Watch Mojo fucking list. And pretty high on there was Prisoners, and I was like, oh yeah, I've been meaning to get to that. And like, this is the team that brought you Blade Runner 2049 and Arrival. But before they did those movies in 2013, they did this crime drama called Prisoners. Have you ever seen Prisoners, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we could get into this. I fucking loved Prisoners. Do you like it, or because it's not a guarantee.
I remember liking it. It's the one like guy's daughter gets kidnapped and he doesn't think the police are doing enough, so he kind of starts doing his own investigation.
Yeah, so this movie, it's kind of like two movies at once, and that I think justifies its like 2.5 hour plus running time. Yeah, it's like you said, the guy's daughter and his friend's daughters go missing, and yeah, he doesn't think the detective is doing enough. So Hugh Jackman is the father, Jake Gyllenhaal is the detective, and Hugh Jackman believes he knows who did it. And it's like this fucking adult man child played by Paul Dano. And so the one movie that's happening is this very straightforward kind of like dark detective movie where Jake Gyllenhaal is trying to solve this crime.
Yes.
Meanwhile, there's a separate movie happening where Hugh Jackman is like losing his soul because he wants to fucking get his daughter back, and he's basically got Paul Dano in like this vacant fucking apartment building torturing this poor kid. And I found the whole it's 2.5 hours long from like 10 minutes in, absolutely riveting. Roger Deakins' photography, as always, is amazing. I think that this is my favorite Denis Villeneuve. How do you say his name? Villeneuve? Whatever.
Sure.
I think it's my favorite of his movies. I have actually liked every one of his movies that I've seen. But I really, really like more than 2049, more than anything, I really was fucking blown away by Prisoners. It's just kind of right in my wheelhouse. And I guess since you've seen it and I have seen it, and it's from 2013, we could say spoilers.
Sure.
So, if you have not seen Prisoners, I highly recommend it. If you're into the crime genre, Prisoners is top notch. I'm giving it 5 stars. I fucking love this thing. And I guess before we get into spoilers, a few other things I'd say about it. I think that the whole setup kind of goes in this strange, crazy direction with a twist near the end, which we'll get into. But like the last half hour is not where I expected it to be going. And it felt like the movie forgets the fact that it has to deal with what Hugh Jackman has done. Like he's done some horrible crimes of his own, and the movie just kind of seems to for at least it seems to forget it for a while to become this very conventional thriller in the last half hour. That said, I found the last half hour thrilling, and I think that at the end, it does deal a little bit with the crimes that Hugh Jackman has committed. Other than that, yeah, this thing is phenomenal. Spoilers for Prisoners. So, at some point, you learn like God, there's like a million things. One, I guess one other thing is like I found all the performances amazing in this too. Like, and I really am a pretty big fan of Jake Gyllenhaal at this point. Anyways, at some point you find out that it's not, I mean, it's very clearly, at least I thought throughout, not the person that he's torturing who's the killer. You think it's this other guy who Jake Gyllenhaal is tracking, who is this guy that shows up at the scene of like a vigil, and Gyllenhaal chases the guy off, and Gyllenhaal figures out who the guy is. He finds the guy. He goes in the guy's house. The guy's got like fucking these like locked tubs full of shit. You're like, oh God, there's gonna be bodies in this fucking house. And he starts opening them up, and there's like fucking just like clothes and a bunch of snakes. And this guy was like pretending. It's like, so you think that, first off, you think Jake Gyllenhaal's got the guy, and it's not the guy. Like, it's just some wannabe weirdo who like gets off on weird shit. And then you find out at the end, like in the last half hour, that like, yeah, it's not the fucking dude that Hugh Jackman's been torturing the whole time. It's the dude's mom. And that's what I said, like, it becomes like very conventional at that point, like, where I was like, what the fuck is this? And then you find out that the kid he's been torturing the whole time was also a kidnapped victim himself. Like, this mom has had him. Like, she's not his mom. Do you, is this all like kind of coming back to you right now? Okay. Wild shit. Like, just crazy. Like, I don't know that I needed the movie to have that twist where it's like, oh, it's the mom, whatever. But I think it's cool. Like, I've come to accept it. It's just, I don't know. It's just like crazy. Like, just did not see that coming. And then for like, not only is this guy like been torturing an innocent person the whole movie, he's torturing someone who is already a victim himself. You know, it's just misery piled on top of misery in this movie. And then we have the ending that I fucking love. So everything gets solved. I think Gyllenhaal kills the mom. Like, he confronts her, he kills her. The whole thing is like, all said and done for. And Gyllenhaal, like, it comes out, like, you could tell at the end that they figured out that Hugh Jackman had kidnapped this boy and was torturing him. Like, they knew about it. And there's actually a scene between I think Melissa Leo and Gyllenhaal, who, like, she plays Hugh Jackman's wife. Like, she says to Gyllenhaal, are we going to jail? He's like, yeah, probably. Because all the parents knew about this shit. Like, it wasn't just Hugh Jackman on his own. His wife and the other set of parents knew. But while they know that Hugh Jackman has committed this crime, they don't know where the fuck he is. Basically, the mom, the real villain lady, like, she fucking put him down in a hole below her house, and she got killed in her confrontation with Gyllenhaal, and the authorities had not discovered where this hole was. So the very end of the movie, Gyllenhaal goes back to this house. He's like standing out front, and everyone goes like, all the investigators and stuff that were working there, like, go home kind of for the night, and they like power everything down, and it's all like silent. And he's just kind of standing on the front lawn, just like looking around. And you very faintly hear this whistle, and it's Hugh Jackman in the hole with a whistle that he found. And this is like a scene that goes on for like probably almost 2 minutes, where like he thinks he hears something. No, I didn't. Then he hears it again. He's like, did I hear that? And then he hears it like for a third time, and he's like, yeah, that's a whistle. Like, you see him look like he knows Hugh Jackman's in that hole. And then cut to black, prisoners. It's like, it's one of those like slap in the face endings where like, it's not just an ambiguous ending, which is, I already like those, but like, it's one of those ones where like like the Sopranos or something, where like you're super invested at this point
It's like
after this really long movie. Like, this is a 2.5 hour movie, and you're like, okay. And, oh man, he's gonna find him. And then it just goes to black and it says prisoners and the credits start. And I'm like, that's fucking perfect. And, you know, my girlfriend, of course, is like, oh, what the fuck? How could they do that to us? And I'm like, I just love that because it's just ending it right. Like, I love endings that end right in the middle of something, like, and like, kind of this perfect note. And it just ends on this look of recognition in Gyllenhaal's eyes where he's just like, he knows that the dude's in there. And then we have to, like, in, you know, as attentive viewers have to go, okay, well, did he go in that hole, get Hugh Jackman out, and arrest him? Or did he tell Hugh Jackman he could run? And it's kind of a choose your own adventure for the viewer. I think in a lot of movies, I think if you watch closely enough, like in The Sopranos, I think if you watch The Sopranos closely enough, you know how it ends. And I think here, it's like I said one thing last night, and then today, the more I thought about it, I'm like, maybe he did let him go. Because I said to my girlfriend last night, I'm like, dude, this guy is a competent detective through and through. He's pursued wherever the case has taken him. Like, he was investigating Jackman for part of the movie, you know, and Jackman was getting pissed about it. I'm like, there's no way this guy's just gonna let him go. But then I'm like, and I started to think about like these things. Like, there is a part where Gyllenhaal like explodes in an interrogation room and starts beating the fuck out of some guy. There's like indications that like his very like put together persona or whatever is like a facade, like he's barely holding it all together and
Right.
acting as a straight upstanding detective. There's just like little clues. It's like maybe unfair of me to say, but I think it's intentional. Like he's got all these tattoos that you can see like kind of creeping out of his clothing, like on his neck, he's got a tattoo that just sticks out above his collar, kind of suggesting that he came from a rougher background. You know what I mean? The fact that he like buttons up his fucking shirts all the way to the top. Like, I think there's all these choices that Gyllenhaal made as an actor in this to just suggest little things about this detective that like he's putting himself together as a show for people, but like deep down, maybe he has different agendas and different things that he's thinking about. And maybe he thinks, I get what Jackman did, and maybe he lets the guy go. I don't know. But I kind of
Or
love that the movie demands that you have to be paying attention and actually engage your brain and go, this is what happened, instead of just everything being spoon-fed to you. You know? What were you going to say, Chris?
maybe he just leaves them there.
Or maybe, yeah, maybe he leaves him in the hole because they don't show him go. They just show him realize that there's a whistle blowing. I loved Prisoners, man. I know it's been probably a while since you've seen it, but I can't believe I snoozed on this thing for so long. It's just all around the cast, the director, the photography, cinematography, like fucking blew my mind. Really, really loved Prisoners.
Nice.
And I guess one last note for me, because I'm getting sick of hearing myself talk. I finished watching the HBO show Barry. Have you
Okay.
watched any of this?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, I think I mentioned it once before, but it's basically,
Yes.
very briefly, it's like a hitman goes to LA and decides he doesn't want to be a hitman anymore. He wants to be an actor. I think the show was pretty great. Like, I'm not going to give it a full rating or full review because I actually did not see every episode. I missed two or three out of the eight episodes. But you know, I came back in for the last two or three, and I was able to figure out what was going on, right? It's a very funny show, a very sharp show. It has a lot of like movie references. Like, so if you're a big movie fan like us, you're gonna, because you know, like he's doing plays and shit, or like he'll do scenes with other people, and it's like scenes from movies you know,
Okay.
or maybe not know, but it's like very kind of deep cut movies sometimes. But like I was like, oh man, they're doing fucking that scene from Magnolia where she flips out. You know, like just like I'm just like someone still thinks about and cares about Magnolia besides me. That's cool. Like the show as a whole is like just very sharp, funny thing that all of a sudden explodes into like very serious crime drama shit. So it's kind of like, you know how like Breaking Bad was like this very intense crime drama that was like funny? This is like the opposite, like the inverse of that, where it's like this funny half-hour show that like explodes into fucking very serious gangster shit out of nowhere. Like, you know, hitmen and fucking gangs and, you know, cartels and all this shit, where I'm just like, I could be down with this. And I think the way that they wrapped that season up was pretty phenomenal. So I'd give it a shot at some point, Chris.
Okay.
I know I've given you quite the back catalog
Yeah.
already, but it's a half-hour show, so like there's that. And I think it's one of the best things going on HBO right now. So if you or others out there have not checked it out yet, I mean, it's a the whole season's available now, all 8 episodes on HBO, so check it out.
Okay.
For next week, I don't know what I will have. I don't know if there's anything coming out in theaters. I really can't
I
settle, Chris.
will have Solo.
Oh yeah, I'm sitting here. I don't know if there's anything coming out in theaters. I will not have Solo, but I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about that. I've heard things all over the place.
Me too. Some really weird stuff too. Like, not about the movie. I've mostly heard it's fun and serviceable, which is kind of all I really need from it. But a lot of people like just kind of like hating on it because they want to get Kathleen Kennedy fired because she has some social justice agenda that she's pushing on Star Wars, and there's some crazy shit going on in
Yeah,
the
because
periphery.
Star Wars was never about social justice. No. Never. It's never about doing the right thing or
Right.
fighting oppressive empires. No, it was about, you know, whatever the fuck these people want it to be about. I have no idea.
No, I mean, you know, there's a too much of a focus on women, and there's, you know, there's more than one black person in the movie now. I don't know. It's fucking nuts, though.
One Solo. I mean, I haven't seen the movies. I don't know if they're talking about things in that, but like, it's about Han Solo. He's a dude. There's a black guy in it. It's called Lando. He was in the original fucking movies. So I don't.
Yeah,
There's more than one
I don't know,
Patsy.
and like, yeah, I like, what do you want? Like, it's gonna be fucking Han Solo, Chewbacca, and Lando Calrissian. Like, what more are you expecting from like? I mean, those characters are established.
You know what's funny? I have seen, and you know, I've avoided spoilers, and I'm not going to spoil anything for you. I know this is like your sacred cow, but I've seen people say there's people that will love The Last Jedi, and then there's people that will love Solo more. Like one, you know, one movie is for the people who are willing to see Star Wars do things that are different, and one is for people who just want their fucking to hear the greatest hits.
Yeah, and I and honestly, I don't have I like new
Like
stuff, and
both,
I like the other stuff. Like, but there is like there's also this weird contingent of people that are like they want the greatest hits, but like they I don't know how they expect them to do like a greatest hits type thing, especially with these characters without recasting the roles, like.
you know what you do? Just watch Star Wars. Watch A New Hope. Watch the first one. That's what you want. You're never gonna get it
Right,
again.
like the if you can't get over the fact that like they're going to continue the story in ways that maybe you don't like, or you know, go back and do things that don't impact things greatly, then just watch the original movies. Like, they're not spoiled by these new films. You don't have to watch them.
I also saw a theory that I don't know, I forgot how the theory went. You know, I'll leave. It was something about how like there's people that like miss the original ones in theaters, and for them, they like the new ones more or less. I can't even remember, so I forgot what the theory was. But I guess I will have more of an opinion about Solo when I see it. I don't want to go see it in the theaters, and it's not. it's not even like the Marvel thing with me. It's just what's kind of the Marvel thing. It's just too much. I want my Star Wars to feel fresh as fuck when I go see it. Like,
I do wish that they had pushed this to December.
That'd be a lot better. I might be gone then, honestly.
I will say that, like, up until, like, maybe the last few weeks, I wasn't like, oh, yeah, a new Star Wars movie's coming. Like, normally I'm, like, really, like, but, like, the last couple weeks, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I'm tired of all this, like, negativity. I just want to go enjoy things. Right. I just want to go, like, see the fucking Millennium Falcon blow shit up. Like, whatever. Like, I know it's not going to have any impact because we know where Han Solo's story ends. Like, we literally know that there's no impact.
Yeah, we know everything that's going to happen to him, basically.
Yeah, like, so I just want to go and, you know, and hopefully, like, the guy that is playing Han Solo is, you know, charismatic enough. I like Woody Harrelson. Donald Glover's fucking, he looks the part of Lando completely, and he looks like he's having the time of his life.
That's like, when I look at that cast, I'm like, I don't buy this guy as Han Solo. Like, I'm going in with an open mind. I'm willing to give him a shot when I do see it. But, like, I'm just like, he doesn't have, like, I don't expect him to do a Harrison Ford impression, but he doesn't feel like the same flavor of fucking human being as Harrison Ford to me. I don't know. But fucking Don Glover as Lando, I'm like, that's some fucking great casting. Like, that
right.
Dude looks like, it's not even like, I don't, it's not like he's doing an impression of, who's the other actor? Is it Billy D. Williams?
Yeah.
It's not like he's doing an impression of Billy D. Williams or anything. It's just like, I'm like, I just look at fucking Don Glover as Lando and he just looks like, yeah, dude, I'm in a fucking Star Wars movie. I'm gonna own this shit. Like, it just,
yeah,
that alone is just like, all right, that's cool.
It's like, he's cocky and he has that, yeah, that, you know what? When you first get introduced to Lando in Empire, that's how he's portrayed. He's just this cocky showman, and that seems to be what like Donald Glover is pulling off, at least from the trailers. And from everything I've heard, he's fantastic in it. So,
yeah,
I'm just looking for a fun time. So I will have that for next week.
Yeah, like I said, I'm holding it as nothing against the movie itself, except for the fact that I just, you know, I'll probably see it when it comes out around December. I don't know what I'll have next week, but I always manage to find something. So maybe some movies from Shudder. And Mr. Too Fresh / Matt, I promise I'll get to your name next week. as well as, there's another one. Oh yeah. Primal Screen is another one I'm meaning to get to. Maybe I'll do some cleanup of stuff that I've seen already. And I'm sure I'll see, something new. Hopefully, I'm hoping, Annihilation.
Okay.
Let's see. You've not seen that yet, have you?
No, not yet.
Oh, shit. I don't know. Maybe by next week. Who knows? But I'll find something. We'll be back. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Movie dudes. Do, 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 do.